You cannot change the people around you, but you can change the people you choose to be around. And that is the thought for today. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's episode of 7 Good Minutes, we get some great insight on why choosing your friends carefully is so important. Enjoy.
Make friends with people who want the best for you.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, and it's a real technical idea. So Carl Rogers, who's a psychotherapist, great psychotherapist, I'd very much recommend his books to people, especially if they want to learn to listen, because he was really good at teaching people how to listen. He had this idea that what he would manifest towards his clients in therapy was unconditional positive regard. And I've always had trouble with that because you don't treat your children, for example, with unconditional positive regard.
You mean, so no matter what someone says, you're saying, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's why it's tricky. Well, what he didn't articulate it, I think, as well as he might have. What you want to do is, for your child, is that you want the best for the best in them. That's what you want. And that's what you want from people that you surround yourself with. Now, they'll hold you to a high standard if that's the case, right? Because whenever you degenerate in any of the multiple ways that you're likely to degenerate, they're going to like whack you on the back of the head and say, you know, clue the hell in, you know, you're demeaning yourself, you're less than you could be. And there's real judgment in that, and it's harsh, you know. But with friends, it's the same thing. You want friends, they're not friends if they're not these people. You want friends who, when something good happens to you, that's good for you, right? They're happy about that. They're not like all bitter and resentful underground and like saying horrible things behind your back and telling you how they did something that was better and trying to drag you down. It's like, that's not helpful. And then when something bad happens to you and you go to them and you say, look, this terrible thing happened to me. First of all, they don't try to top it with some like horrible thing that happened to them because they don't have the patience to listen. And second, they're not secretly gloating about the fact that catastrophe finally befell you. It's like they're actually hurt by it. And that chapter is an injunction. It's like, take a look at the people that are around you. And if they're not on the side of what's good for you, then walk away. Because, well, first of all, that's best for them too. If you put up with that, all you're doing is enabling it. It's like, well, it's okay that you mistreat me in a way that's harmful to me and everyone else. It's like, actually, no, that is not okay. It's not the least bit okay. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try to help someone when they're down. That's a whole different issue.
What if it's your family? So you know how you say, like, walk away, right?
Yeah.
Do you still walk away from your family? Or do you kind of...
You do if it's necessary.
Yeah.
There's lots of different ways of walking away.
Oh, yeah, you know? Like create boundaries.
Well, there's that, for sure. There's that. I mean, you sometimes someone's on an incorrigible path. Yeah. Like, there's just nothing you can do. You know, maybe they're aiming down. Yeah. They're aiming down hard. Yeah. And they're bitter, and everything they do is to produce misery, virtually everything. Mm. And you have to detach yourself from that. It's like, I always think about it from the perspective of a lifeguard. So if you're training to be a lifeguard, one of the things that you're trained to do is to approach someone who's drowning and panicking. Mm. And the way you approach them is you put your foot out between you and them and you push forward with your hands with your foot out. And you basically tell them if they're flailing about, you say, look, I'm here to help, but you have to calm down. And then if they cling to you, like in panic, you push them away. You think, well, that's pretty damn cruel, because what if they drown? It's like, yeah, what if you both drown? That's like not helpful. You're there to rescue them. They take you down. You're both dead. It's like fail, right? So you say, look, quit panicking. I'll help you out, but I'm not drowning along with you. It's like, well, it's the same with someone in your family. It's like, if they're on a downward path and you've done your best, you know, you've made your efforts, and they're not paying attention, they're not changing. They say, yeah, well, I'll quit doing this. Yeah, I'll quit doing this. They tell you the same story over and over and over. It's a downhill path. Mm-hmm. You don't trust it. At some point, first of all, you stop offering your words. That's do not cast pearls before swine. A very, very harsh statement, right? But what it means is, if you're offering words of wisdom to someone in the genuine attempt to help and they treat that with contempt, then shut up. because you're demeaning your words by throwing them away. You think, well, how do you help someone who's aiming down? Well, sometimes you help them by walking away and saying, look, you're aiming down so hard, despite the fact you're my brother, man. It's like, you know, this is killing me. You're aiming down so hard, I'm not coming along with you. And the reason I'm not is to tell you in no uncertain terms that what you're doing is so terrible that I will even violate our kinship to oppose it. And maybe it'll take them 10 years to wake up to that, you know? And so that can be the case because, you know, people often have to be hit so many times before they'll learn. You see that especially if someone's addicted or otherwise pursuing a pathway that's like seriously downhill. Mm. So why should I think that you're actually trying to change? You tell me the story that you use to justify your own idiocy to yourself. And then you tell it to me and you demand that because I'm compassionate, I accept it and therefore validate your excuse. It's really hard not to get tangled up in that, right? Because if someone who's really in rough shape is telling you about why they're suffering, first of all, they're probably about half right in their story. But some of it's justification and excuse and blaming and all of that, failure to take responsibility. It's really hard to stand up and say, no, I don't buy that. No, I don't buy that. No, you're wrong about that. You have to be a brutal bastard in order to do that. But hey, sometimes, like, surgery is brutal, right? It's brutal. And so this chapter about, you know, only making friends with people who want the best for you, that's a brutal chapter, you know, but it's right, unfortunately.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.